When we finish the book.
That's it. North Hampton Colel, share given on Sunday, 18th of September 2011. Yud Tes Elul Toshinayin Aleph, share given by Gershon Hepner. And we're on to Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Ches. We had a long break. Just a quick reminder that the chapter deals with David thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being saved from his various enemies. Notably Shaul, as recorded at the very beginning of the chapter. And we now start a whole new section in this chapter, whereby from our Pasuk Ches, right up to Pasuk Tes Zayin, inclusive, David lists a number of natural phenomenon that have helped him be saved from his various enemies. And we're going to see there's things like earthquakes and fire and floods and the such like. And he's saying that each of these has saved me from my various enemies. So let's take it from chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Ches. Vatigash, vatirash ha'oretz. And the earth quaked and roared. I'm taking this particular translation of these tricky words from the Art Scroll. Vatigash vatirash ha'oretz, the earth quaked and roared, umestei harim yirgozu, and the foundations of the mountains shook. Yirgozu, yeah, they shook. Vayiskoashu, and they trembled, kicharalo, when he was angry. Now who is this he, when he was angry? It's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that because it's a pronoun, isn't it? Kihara lo, when he was angry, or when there was anger to him. And the previously mentioned previously mentioned being is from Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'elele batzali ekro Hashem, ve'elele kai ashavea, yishma mehecholo koli, he listened to my voice from his temple, and so on. So it refers back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatigash vatirash ha'oretz, and the earth quaked and roared, almost, which means earthquakes, almost dehorim yugozu, and the foundations of the mountains shook, vayisquashu kichoro lo, and they trembled when he was angry. So this is the first one of the various various phenomena that David cites as having saved him from various enemies. So Rashi explains, the first thing Rashi says is he explains this word ki right at the end of the pasuk, ki choralo, and the word ki we know from a few times in the Torah where Rashi brings it, and of course we know it as well from the last blot of Gemara Gittin. The word ki has got four different translations. Ki mishamish ba'arba l'shonos, the word ki has got four different explanations, and Rashi says here it means when Hashem was angry, then he made earthquakes and the earth shook and trembled and so on, and all of that was done in order to save me from my enemies. That's how Rashi explains it. Now, which enemies are we talking about? Well, there are two main opinions among all the Mefarshim. We're either talking about David's personal enemies, like Shaul and Doeg and Achisophel and Avshalom and so on, or we are referring to enemies of Klal Yisrael over the years. And Rashi takes the first opinion, the second opinion, that refers to particular enemies over the years, and he says that our pasuk is talking about Paro. And we're talking about when at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the earth trembled and the earth shook, the Makkos themselves caused the earth, the earth suffered in the Makkos, with the Kinim and all other, well, I guess all the Makkos themselves in somehow smote the earth in some way, the earth in Mitzrayim. And the earth itself is almost as though the earth is crying out. The frog came out of the river, yeah, and so on. So, yeah, so the earth itself suffered, the earth of Mitzrayim suffered, and that's this idea of earthquakes here. So Rashi takes on this referring to Paro, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacted the Makkos on from Paro. While other Mefarshim say it refers to various other enemies of Klal Yisrael over the years. That's how Rashi learns it. The Targum on our pasuk gives a very slightly different shot on this word ki. Rashi learns ki chora lo, when he was angry. When Hashem was angry, then he made these earthquakes and so on. whereas the Targum translates the word ki with the word matul. Matul, this is a kefle, very hard words in this Targum. I looked up very, very hard vocabulary, and I looked every one of them up, and of course none of them was different. I looked them all up in a dictionary, but the actual translation was the same as in the Pasuk. The Isra Gifas, the Isra Gishas, Aro, the earth quaked and trembled, the Ushios Turayo Zu, and the foundations of the mountains shook, the Isra Tishu, and they trembled. But now we come to the interesting word in the Targum. He translates the word ki as matul. Matul disakefle, because he was angry. Not when he was angry, but because he was angry. But it's just a very slightly different slant to the one that Rashi gives. The Matulis David explains this word ha'oretz. We've got in the Pasuk, Vatigash Vatirash ha'oretz, the earth trembled and quaked. Says the Matulis David, it doesn't really mean the earth. It means the people on the earth. Yoshvei ha'oretz. And again refers to David's enemies. That's how the Matulis David knows. David's enemies, the dwellers of on earth, they're the ones who trembled and quaked. But the Pasuk puts it poetically as though it's the earth itself that trembled, but in fact it was David's enemies who were trembling.
It seems to me it's right. So Shomu Amim Yugozim.
Yes, Shama Amim Yugozu. The people trembled. Yes. Yeah.
Yugozu is the same. Most of them are
in. Yes, we've got the same word. That's right. Yugozu. It's the same roots. Yeah. Then in the Shira, it's got the extra nun. Yeah, Norman knows the Shira better than all of us put together. Yugozun has got a nun at the end. In the Shira, it's got the extra nun. It's essentially the same word. Absolutely. Yes, similar word. Yeah. I think I may have made a mistake just now. On the Masudas Dovid. The Masudas Dovid also takes on this reference to, he says that most day Horim, in our Pasuk, the foundations of the mountains, or most day Horim Yirgalsu, who are these most day Horim? The Masudas Dovid says it's a reference to Paru. Paru and his officers, or his princes. So learning very similarly to Rashi, the Masudas David, as far as I can tell, throughout Tanakh, the Masudas David seems to learn basic pshat like Rashi. If there's a machlokas, he'll study the Rashi. Oh. So we'll come to that. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad. Thank you for reminding me. So, excuse me. Oh, that's another problem. Okay. Yeah, the tenses are a problem here. Vatigash. Well, it's a future tense made. Well, tigash and tirash and yisgoashu are all future tenses, but they're made past with a vav hahipuch. I haven't seen any references to Mashiach. And look, in all Mefarshim I looked at, quite a few Mefarshim, nobody seems to comment with reference to the times of Mashiach. They're all in the past tense. Yeah.
The buildings will fall down. You know, we haven't had this with Rav Shisha.
But grammatically, it is the past.
They're in the past. Yeah. Vatigash. Yeah. Can you see the vav at the beginning? Like vatigash. That vav, the vav with the patach, followed by a dogish in the next letter, is the vav hayipuch. So it changes it from future to past. So vatigash, vatirash, and vayisgoashu all turn out to be in the past tense. But the one difficult one is yirgozu, because yirgozu is actually future tense. They will tremble. Yeah. They will shake. But, I didn't see anyone commenting on it, and it seems to be one of these, in Tanakh in general, but specifically in poetical Pesukim, and Tehillim is exactly that, the tenses are not to be taken literally. So Yugozu, it's poetic, exactly.
Up and down.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, many of the tenses in Tanakh are are by definition not clear, because you have a future tense made past with the Vavayipuch, and you can have a past tense made future with a different type of Vavayipuch. So the tenses are a bit of a jumble throughout Tanakh, but in particular in poetical Pesukim, Yogazu, and in Nevuos as well. You find Nevuos referring to the future, which are written in the past. And the Rishonim always say on that, why they're written in the past tense? Because there's such a certainty, it's as though they have already happened. But that's Nevuos written in the past. Here, it does refer to incidents in the past. And the difficult word is Yogazu, which is a future. And I didn't find anyone who explains it. But I had that as a kasha. Coming on to what Jonathan mentioned, Johnny was saying that the Paro and his officers or his princes are referred to as Mostei Horim Yogazu. And the Masoret David said that Mostei Horim, the foundations of the mountains, refers specifically to Paro. Says the Ibn Ezra, why do we compare these enemies of Klal Yisrael, like Paro, to mountains? He says, because a mountain has strength. It's unshakable. It's firm. It stood there for years and years. And you think it always will stand there. Along comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can give it a jolly good shaking. So even someone who appears to be solid and powerful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can just finish them off in a trice, should he so wish. So Paro...
Is that with Gaddafi in Libya?
Yeah,
Gaddafi.
Been
there 42 years, he was in power. Well, he's on his way out, isn't he?
Yeah.
We think.
I like the way you group Gaddafi with Paro, it seems to make sense. Yeah.
He was an evil man.
Yeah, of course, sure. Oh. Yeah.
He's Jewish.
What?
The thing is, he's Jewish.
Oh, well. Okay. The Radak. The Radak on our Pasuk explains that what we're going to have in all these Pasukim coming up of the fire, of the earthquakes and fires and floods, they're all Mesholim. It says the Radak, Mesholim. It's a Moshul. They're all Mesholim, yeah. They're all Mesholim to describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeats the enemies. It's not necessarily to be taken literally, earthquakes and literally floods and literally fires. No. It says the Radak, it's all a Moshul. A Moshul to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeats the enemies. In fact, the Malbim says, and I mentioned this Malbim, I think on one of, probably the last year, that he says that the sequence that we're going to have in our Pesukim is of a person who faces a danger, is saved by a miraculous event, but the miraculous event in turn causes another danger. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a second miraculous event to rescue the person from the second danger, which saves him, but in turn causes another problem. And it's a domino effect. And the Malbim says that's what we've got in our Pesukim. It really covers the next six or seven Pesukim. That what we have here is an earthquake. We have a David facing dangers from his enemies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from his enemies by causing an earthquake, and the earthquake destroys the enemy. But the earthquake then causes a fire. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends rain and storms which quench the fire, put the fire out, but then cause a flood. And it's this domino effect. Yeah. So each rescue package creates a new problem.
What was the first one he does?
The first one is faced by his enemies. That's danger number one. He saves saves David from his enemies. How? By sending an earthquake, and the earthquake destroys the enemies. Yeah. But then David himself is in danger from the earthquake, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a fire, which somehow cures that problem, and then the fire causes new problems, which in turn are solved by a flood, and the flood causes new problems, and so on. And each solution creates a new problem until the final situation when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescues and sends no further problems. And then, of course, David can sit up and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time who sent me all these rescue packages, and he's finally rescued me, but with an absolute and total salvation. That's how the Malbim learns this whole sequence of Pesukim over the next Pesukim, right the way through to the end of Pasuk 16, Tezayin. The Meiri says The Meiri, if you like, nods towards Rashi and says how many Rishonim refer all these forthcoming natural phenomena as referring to various enemies over the years, and he says some say it refers to Paro, followed by Matan Torah, all the various Nissim that have happened, and the Borod, and that's not the Borod in Mitzrayim, another Borod that took place in the days of Yeshua, and Kriyas Yamsuf, all the various Nisim that Kosh performed for Klal Yisrael, and he's splitting the Yaridane so that Yeshua could go across. The Meiri says some Rishonim understand all these next few Pesukim as referring to these kinds of Nisim. He says, I disagree with all of them. He says, no, it actually refers to David's enemies. All these next few Pesukim with all the natural phenomena and Nisim that are listed all refer to David's enemies. And the same shot is given by Rabbi Shaya from Turin as well, the Tosis Rid on the Pesukim. Good. Oh, let's come on to an amazing piece of Medrash HaChatov. Here, Medrash HaChatov. The Medrash HaChatov asks a very simple question and says, Omer of Shulban Achmini, Lama Hazios Botos, why do earthquakes occur? Our pasuk speaks about earthquakes. Why do earthquakes occur? We've had quite a few recently in the world. And he answers, Al Hesek ben Malchus la Malchus. Earthquakes occur due to, I hope I've understood this correctly, and I'm not sure that I have, a certain instability in the world caused by political instability in the world when there's a handover from one king to another. So in the interim period between one monarch and another and the next monarch, there's political instability in a country, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu echoes that instability by sending an earthquake. I think I've understood it correctly, but I'm not sure. And it quotes a posuk. It's a posuk in Yirmiyah, and it's chapter Nun Aleph, posuk Kaftes, where the entire chapter speaks about the downfall of Bavel. And here the posuk says,
you don't think an earthquake is a natural phenomenon?
It's natural, but there's a reason for it.
You think so? There's more to it, that's what I'm saying.
There's more to it, absolutely. Yeah, we call it natural because we see the forces of nature at work. Yeah, tectonic plates. Could be, yeah. But we know that there's more. You can say it's tectonic plates, but that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu working through the natural forces of tectonic plates. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Because there's a message. There are a few messages which the message is going to bring. And the first one is it seems to echo the political instability in a country. And the refers to the Pasuk in Yirmiyah chapter Nun Aleph Pasuk Kaftes, which speaks all about the downfall of Bavel. Vatirash Oretz Vatochol, the earth shook. Or had an earthquake, Vatochol, and it shook. Why? Ki komo al bovel machshavos Hashem. Because the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rose up against Bovel, losum es eretz Bovel leshamo, to render the land of Bovel desolate, may ein yoshev, with no inhabitants. It seems, I don't quite understand the connection of one king handing over to another king, but when a country falls, when there's instability in a country, and here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatening to punish Bavel, that's when earthquakes occur as well. That is the first pshat given in the Medrash, given by Rav Shmuel ben Achmini. Then we have an amazing story. How about this for a conversation? Eliyahu Zocher Latov, Eliyahu Anovi, Zocher Latov, Sho'ul es Rab Nehurai. He asked Rab Nehurai. Rab Nehurai, by the way, is a pseudonym for Rabbi Meir. Meir means he gives light, and Nehurai is the Aramaic word for giving light. Nehura, we say in Yukam Puka, Nehura Ma'aliyah means good light, good quality light. So Rabbi Meir is the same person as Rabbi Nehurai. Eliyahu Anovi asking Rabbi Nehurai a question. I would have thought it would be the other way around. Why do earthquakes occur in the world? Omalo, so Reb Nehurai answered Eliyahu Anovi, Al Chilul Masris, it's due to the desecration of the mitzvahs of giving maaser. Shein Mafishin Osan Kesiknon, when people don't separate maasers correctly. People don't take maasers properly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends an earthquake. Omalo, said Eliyahu Anovi, replied to Reb Nehurai, Chayecho, I swear by your life, I hereby take a shvur, kach hi svara de milsa, that what you said is the logical explanation for earthquakes. People don't say masses correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes with an earthquake. He says, you're logically, you're right. Ella, but, Zehu Ikari Shaldava. Eliyahu now gave the answer, gave his own explanation. This is the primary reason why there are earthquakes. But Sha'osh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mabit Ba'olamo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazes upon his world, V'roe Bote Tarati Sa'os, and he sees theatre houses, or Vote Karkas Sa'os, and circus houses, V'umas, and the nations of the world, Yishvim, they sit, they heshkate in peace and quiet, over Vitcha, and self-assured, yeah, what do you say? Safely, thank you, safely. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazes upon the world, and he sees the non-Jews with their theatres and their circuses, and they're all happy and peace and quiet, what was the word he's used? Safely, yeah, and they feel safe. Yet the Beis HaMikdash lies in ruins. Uvanov Betzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, Klal Yisrael, are living in sorrow and in difficulties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like that situation. And therefore, Mechore Apo Ba'olamo, he makes his anger burn against the world, Lachrivo, to destroy it. And that's done with, in the form of earthquakes. Hahud Dechsiv, and that's what is meant in the Pasuk, and it's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu chapter Kafhei, and 1 minute, and it's Pasuk Lamed, where the Pasuk there says that umimeun kodsho. No, sorry, I got the wrong part. Yishag al novehu. Yishag means he will shotog. Shotog yishag al novehu. Hashem will surely roar al novehu over his abode. Now, what does that mean? Hashem will roar over his abode. It doesn't mean he's going to roar over it. It means Bishvil Novehu, because of his abode, because the Beis HaMikdash lies in ruins, and all the nations of the world are busy, you know, they're at the theatres and the cinemas and the circuses, and they all have a high old time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not right. Klal Yisrael are Batzar, we have no Beis HaMikdash in the world, and so he roars. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's right. Sho Yishag Al Novehu, he roars about his abode. Oh, now that opinion is echoed in the Gemara in Brachas. Very interesting Gemara. It's on Daf Nun.
Does he refer maybe to particular people like Romans? Or
doesn't say that. Just say Odei Kachavim, idol worshippers. The Medrash Shechutah says idol worshippers. But almost Odei Galilim, and the idol worshippers are sitting in peace and quiet. Oh yeah,
that's
Yes, although although not many non-Jews nowadays really do worship idols. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, this opinion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending an earthquake because the non-Jews are having a high old time and the Jews are suffering and there's no Beis HaMikdash, is really, that's the Medrash Shechetot, and it's echoed in a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Speaks about earthquakes. The Mishnah there said that you make a bracha on earthquakes. Shekocha gavrasa mole olam. So the Gemara says, well, you make a bracha on zavaros. So the Gemara says, well, what actually are they? My zavaros, what are these zavaros? Amar of Ketina, goha. They're earthquakes. He defines it as an earthquake.
So say there's an earthquake. Nobody would stop to say a bracha, would they?
Well, yeah. I was thinking the same. If a chas v'shalom person's caught in an earthquake, he's running for his life. He should. Maybe, I don't know how soon afterwards. Maybe you're on safe ground. Now here's the story. Rav Ketina Havaka Ozil Ba'urcha. On one occasion, Rav Ketina was walking along a road, a path. Kimota, when he arrived, apischa at the doorway deve over tamya, at the doorway of the house of the necromancer, which is a nice long word given to me by art scroll. Yeah. The Shoel Ov V'Yedoni is Ovet Ovatamya. It's a person who foretells the future from skeletons and from a skull through the dead. Yeah. So of course it's osa deraisa to do that.
Yeah,
or it's really from the bones, from the actual bones. Or somehow he raises the spirits of the dead. Yeah, it could be like a seance. Could be, yeah. Yeah, I don't have experience in these things.
No.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Oh. So he arrives at the doorway or the home of this necromancer, and at that moment, Gonach Goha, there was a tremendous earthquake as he was walking past the house. Omai, he said, Miyeda over Tanya Hai Goha Mahu. I wonder, he was just like saying, does a necromancer, does he know what causes earthquakes? I just wondered, would he know? And maybe he asked this necromancer directly, I'm not sure. Romale Kala, whereupon the necromancer replied in a loud voice, he called after him, he said, Katina, Katina! It's interesting, he didn't call him Rav Katina. He didn't have much respect for him. Katina, Katina! Called him. Amai Leyadana, what on earth makes you think I don't know? I do know what causes earthquakes. And I'll tell you what it is. B'sha'osh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zocher Esbonav. When at a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers his children, Shesheriyim B'tza'ar Be'numas Olam, who live in difficulty between the nations of the world, Murid Shetei Domo'os Liyam HaGadol. He sheds two tears into the Mediterranean Sea. V'kola Nishma M'sofa Olam Ad Sofo. And that sound can be heard from one end of the earth to the other. Okay, of course there's a lot done on sound in this Gemara, but the gist of this Gemara is the same as that Medrash, namely the earthquakes are caused by HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeling sorry for his people who live in Sa'ar between the Yomus Olam, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes up the world with an earthquake. V'hainu Goha, it says the necromancer said to Rav Kitina, and that's what an earthquake is. Amar Rav Kitina said, Uva Tamiya Kedivhu, this necromancer is a liar. He's wrong. Umile kadivin, and his words are false. Why? Because ihochi, if what he says is correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds two tears, then goha goha miboile, you would require two earthquakes, one for each tear, and there's really only one earthquake. That is how Rav Katina responded to this necromancer. And then the Gemara comments that in actual fact, Rav Katina knew jolly well that the necromancer was right. Velohi, Goha Ovid, really, there were two earthquakes on that occasion. Or maybe we might understand it as saying there was an earthquake and an aftershock, I'm not sure. But there really were two earthquakes, and Rav Kitina knew jolly well that this necromancer was right. V'haidelo Odile, so why did Rav Kitina not, why wasn't he cognizant of the fact that the necromancer was right? Kiheichedelo Lite Kule Alma Avastre, so that other people shouldn't follow this necromancer. If Rav Kitina would give his haskoma to this necromancer, then other people might follow the necromancer in his ways of Averis as well, of calling up the dead. Why did he ask him? I don't know if he did ask him. Yeah, why did he ask him? I'm not sure he did ask him. For the Gemara's Loshen, I'm not sure. Maybe either he asked him, or it seems he was also thinking aloud. I wonder if the necromancer knows.
He knew his
thoughts.
Yeah.
So
you
must be Jewish, the necromancer.
Yeah, it seems like
when
it. Probably, yeah. The Gemara doesn't say.
Yeah,
it probably was. He probably was. Yeah. And then Rav Kitina goes on to say, Rav Kitina today, Omar Rav Kitina himself said, Sefik Kapov, an earthquake occurs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu claps his hands together. Whichever way you look at it, the fact is, and it quotes the prophet, whichever way you look at it, this earthquake is caused by two things. According to the necromancer, it's two teardrops. According to Rav Kitina, it's a hand clap, so it's two hands clapping together. And I saw in the art scroll, Gemara, he brings his footnote, and I didn't see a source that he brings, that the idea is that because Klal Yisrael are living b'tza'ar, and our tza'ar, Beinu Musa Olam, is a twofold tza'ar. It's a physical tza'ar, and it's a spiritual tza'ar, and therefore the source of earthquake is two things. Well, according to the geologists of today, they'll tell us it's the tectonic plates which crash together, which are also two things. It's two plates rubbing together.
Yeah.
So it's also two things.
Yeah.
Well, they say it's natural. Yeah, well, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message, yeah. Oh, now,
I just want to say, I read somewhere recently that when they had the earthquakes in Israel, in I think it was the 1700s or something, And they say it was because people didn't put Yerushalayim at the forefront. They didn't want to live there. They were happily settled in Jewish communities around the world.
Oh.
It's like a message from Hashem. He was angry.
Yeah.
That you don't want to live in Yerushalayim. You're happy being settled in,
yeah.
in around the world.
I didn't even know there were earthquakes then.
Yeah, there were. Yeah. There was a big earthquake somewhere.
Wow.
Yep. Oh. Let's go back to the Medrash Shochetov. Yeah. Medrash Shochetov then gives a third reason as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends earthquakes. Rav Acha says, Al Mishkav Zachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends earthquakes because Mishkav Zachar, homosexuality. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a punishment. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Hizdazata Evarecha Al Dova She'eno Roi Lecha. You have moved your limbs for something unsuitable, for Mishkav Zachar. Afani, I'll give your world a shake up as well, both upper and lower. I'm not sure what that means, upper and lower. And that's why, and so I'll shake the world up with an earthquake. You've moved your limbs for an Avera, I'll shake the world, I'll move the world.
Yeah,
message for everyone, yeah. V'rabbonon amri, chachamim say, why are earthquakes sent? Al hamachlokus. Because there's machlokus in the world and brings a pasuk which I didn't understand. Oh. Good. Okay.
So, machlokus individually.
A machlokus. When there's machlokus in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends an earthquake as a punishment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I have this wonderful sefer on computer called Shaar HaMelech, which is given to me by my good friend Rav David Dombrovsky, who downloaded it for me. And it's a modern sefer written by someone from America who's a Rav in New York, maybe still is, I'm not sure. And his name is Rav Meir Blumenfeld. And in there, he asks a gorgeous kasha, and he says about earthquakes. Let me get this right. Oh, yeah, so on this medrash. The medrash started, the beginning of this medrash was from, I don't know who it was. It was Rav Acha ben Yaakov, I think. The medrash began, no, sorry, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni is, no, I've got that wrong, I'm sorry. It was Rav Nehorai's response to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi asked Rav Nehorai, why are there earthquakes? And Rav Nehorai answered, because people, she'in mafrish al chilul masters, because of the desecration of the mitzvah masters, she'in mafrish al osam kasiklon, because people don't take masters properly. So after simple kasha, he said, earthquakes occur in the world anywhere. And we're asking, why are there earthquakes in the world? Eliyahu HaNavi's kasha was, Al ma hazeos boos la olam. Why do earthquakes happen in the world? Rav Nehorai answered, because people don't take masters properly. Well, where are people taking masters? Only in Eretz Yisrael. Only food that grows in Eretz Yisrael is chayav b'masters. So how does that add up? He asked us in Mokasha, how can it be that earthquakes can occur anywhere in the world because people in Eretz Yisrael are not separating masters? If not separating masters in Eretz Yisrael, then you would think the earthquake should occur in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that a lovely kasha? It's a simple kasha. And he answered, he's made a few comments. He said, first of all, this medrash does not say that they don't separate masters at all. He says, in mafrishin osam kasiknon, they're not taking them correctly. And he says, what that means is they're not separating them in sequence. Now there's a seder for taking masters. The Yisrael, first he separates Truma and gives that to the Kohen. Then the Yisrael separates Master Rishon and gives that to the Levi. Then the Yisrael separates his Master Sheni and takes that to Shanaim. And the Levi takes Truma's Master from his Master Rishon that he's received. And it should follow that sequence. And he says, the pshat is, it says when they're not separating Truma's and Masters, or Masters Kasiknon, as they should in the right sequence, it means they've done things out of sequence, and that's not correct. And he seemed, if I understood him correctly, he said the idea of an earthquake is that it turns the world upside down, and things are not kaseda, things are not beseda or kaseda as a result of an earthquake.
So not why don't they only occur in...
Oh, so what about his other kasha about why trimethymisis is only in Eretz Yisrael, earthquakes, the kasha that Eliyahu HaNavi asks is why earthquakes are occurring anywhere else in the world. And he answered it based on a Rashi in Devarim. There's my Chumash here. where it's in Parshas Ekev. Oh, Johnny, for you. Yeah, Johnny, for you. Parshas Ekev. Pasuk Yudalef, chapter Yudalef, Pasuk Yudbeis, you'll know this in your sleep. Pasuk Yudbeis. Eretz Hashem, Hashem Mekecha Dorei Sheisra. The land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks out. Tommy Demi Hashem Mekecha Bo, Hashem's eyes.
Bad Acharis Shono.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. Eretz Hashem Hashem Lekecha Dorei Sheisra. The land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a close interest in. Hashem's eyes are constantly on it, Mirishis, Hashanah Vadachris, Shona, from the beginning of the year, or from one end of the year to the next, right? Says Rashi. So Rashi explains on this pasuk. Oh, where's it gone? 1 minute. Pasuk at base. Oh, here we are. Oh, V'halochol harotzes derish. Surely Hashem has a close interest in all lands, not just Eretz Yisrael, and brings a pasuk to prove it. Ela, but what it means is kivayochol, as though we could possibly ascribe this to explain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intentions. Eina derish ela osa. Really, Hashem's primary interest is in Eretz Yisrael. Valiyadei osa derisha shedosha. And as a result of that interest, derish es kol ha'aretz imo. Then, as a secondary thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then looks into other countries as well. So, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a close interest in other countries. But his primary interest is in Eretz Yisrael. And once he starts examining Eretz Yisrael, he then goes on to examine other countries as well. So he says that's how it works. So with that, Rashi explains this Medrash in the Medrash Shechetov, that people are not taking masters correctly in Eretz Yisrael. That's Hashem examining Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, on the back of that, Hashem examines other countries and sends earthquakes possibly to other places as well.
As well.
Yeah. Or to other places instead of Eretz Yisrael. Mm. Yeah, but that's the idea. As a result of taking a close interest in Eretz Yisrael, the earthquakes could well spread worldwide.
We know some countries have these tectonic plates under them, so they're more prone to earthquakes than countries like England, where they're supposed to be one of the safest in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah, they say one of the safest not to have earthquakes.
Yeah, so that's
so there is something physical here.
We have there was an earthquake in this country.
Minor
one. Yeah, minor ones. Yeah, I remember.
Some countries more prone to it.
Yeah, I remember. I was once listening to the radio late at night, and I suddenly felt a certain jolt, and then about 30 seconds later on the radio, the presenter said, "We've just had a little earthquake."
Oh, really?
Anyway,
maybe it's also to do with the blessings that come to the world come through Eretz Yisrael. So the almost the 70 nations just bring their offerings to, and if they're no longer able to bring them there, Hashem's anger comes down to the world. They have earthquakes throughout the world. The things he's not being done.
Yeah.
So it's the responsibility of the nations of the world to make sure these things are done for their own safety.
That's right.
Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah? So you think it's a direct result for what they're doing, the nations?
What's going on the nations now,
yeah.
For example,
yeah.
Going up against Israel.
Still with this sefer from Meir Blumenfeld on sefer Kol Sha'ar HaMelech. So just one other small detail on that, and that is he says it cannot be when it says when the Medrash says that they're not taking masters kasiknon. He proves it cannot possibly mean that they're not taking masters at all. Why? Because we've got a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Ches. Which says Shiva Mine Froniyos Bo Me'olam. Seven types of punishments come to the world. Al Shiva Gufi Avera for seven different types of Avera, and the Mishnah says Miktosan Ma'asin and Miktosan Inon Ma'asin. If only a fraction of Klal Yisrael is separating masters, then Rav Shel Batzeris Bo. Then a famine occurs because of lack of rainfall. In which case, some people have rain, some don't. Miktosan Re'evim and Miktosan Sadeim. Some people go hungry and some people don't. If nobody's separating masters at all, then you suffer a double whammy of a famine caused by war and also a famine caused by drought. So he says those are the punishments for not taking masters at all. So when the Medrash says that the earthquakes come because of Masters, it means not taking Masters correctly. They are taking Masters, they're just not doing it correctly. Which is actually what the Medrash says, they're not taking them kasiknon, they're not taking them as they should do.
If you don't take it at all, then double.
Then there's a separate, a different punishment for not taking Masters at all.
Even worse. I.e. the rot of.
Yeah, well, it's even worse, probably, if you don't take it at all.
I guess so. It comes to the world.
The wars come to the world.
Wars come to the world.
The earthquakes come to the world.
The wars come to the world.
Yeah. And if you don't give them a correct order, at least you're giving, you could say, at least you're attempting.
Yeah, correct.
If you don't give at all, it is much worse.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah.
Oh, now, this sefer, Shai HaMelech, I'm sitting on my computer in the kitchen, goes on to ask a gorgeous kasha about earthquakes. And he quotes the Mishnah in Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says, it speaks about all different brachas that we make, and the Mishnah there says, the Al Hazikin on shooting stars, the Al Hazavotos and on earthquakes, the Al Haraomim and on thunder, the Al Haruchos and on storms, the Al Habrokim and on lightning, Omer, one says, Brosh Kuchu Gavrasim Aleolam. You make that bracha, bracha tashem ken melecholam shekecho gevrasim ala yolam. We're familiar with that. He brings the kasha he quotes from Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel asks this kasha, what's the kasha? He says, I don't know. Oh yes, I think you're right.
He was Engel.
Yes, rings a bell, yes. Yes, I think you're right. He brings the kasha from Rabbi Yosef Engel. We have an early opinion of Rabbi Yehuda about certain types of foods on which one does not make a bracha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is a Mishnah earlier, it's in Brachas Daf Mem Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shehu min klala, anything that is a species of food which stems from a curse, in the Varchin Olav, you do not make a bracha on it. Like what? So the Mishnah gave examples that I should have said before and forgot. And the examples are chometz, vinegar, which is really good wine gone bad. Yeah? It's not like the manufactured vinegar that we have nowadays, which is manufactured like malt vinegar. No, it's when wine goes bad and it becomes vinegary, which can be used, but it's bad news because it's worth a lot less than the wine would have been worth. Yeah? Va'al hanovlos, and on unripe fruits that fall off the tree very, very early in their growth and never really came to much. Va'al hagovai, and on locusts. Right? Locusts, which are kosher to eat, if you eat those, the Mishnah says the first thing in the Mishnah is you make a bracha omer shakol niyabidvari, you make a shakol. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda and says no, kol shu min klala.
Okay. Okay.
Some locusts are okay, sure. Pesukim in Parshish Shmini.
Why does that mean klala? Because it destroys.
Oh, so all these three things are bad news, says Rabbi Yehuda. The vinegar is wine that's gone bad, and the fruit, the noblos of fruits that are not very good quality, and they're very unripe, and locusts cause untold damage to the world. So he says, such things are called a min klala, these are species of curse, and therefore don't make a brach on them at all. Yeah? Omer Rabbi Yehud.
If you eat them.
Rabbi Yehud, Omer Kolshim in klala in mevrach na lav, you don't make a brach on a klala. I'm talking about the Kalala. So no brach on these food stuff. Yes. So Rabbi Yosef Engel asks the gorgeous kasha. We've got the Mishnah later on, at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachas, which says that on these various natural phenomena, on shooting stars, earthquakes, thunderstorms and lightning, you make a bracha shekech gevrasim al yolam. So it says, why doesn't the Mishnah bring the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Surely Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Surely Rabbi Yehuda would say that on earthquakes, you don't make a bracha. It's a min klala. An earthquake is a klala for the world. So you don't make a bracha on an earthquake. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, why does the Mishnah not say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees? Surely he does disagree. To which Rabbi Yosef Engel answers, yes, he does disagree. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, you don't make a bracha on a min klala, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not make a bracha on an earthquake. Why does the Mishnah not say so? Because it's subsumed into the earlier Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda saying that you don't make a bracha on a min klala. And it can be understood from that. That's how Rabbi Yosef Engel answers it.
We don't pass him that Rabbi Gooder, do we? With the
probably not. No, probably not. Yeah, especially don't forget. Especially don't forget. It's Rabbi Yosef Engel's chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda would say that you don't make a bracha on an earthquake. He says it's just not written in the Mishnah because you don't need it in the Mishnah because you can learn it from the previous Mishnah. Whereas this sefer, the Shaar HaMelech, says no. I disagree with Rabbi Yosef Engel. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says you don't make a bracha on the unripe fruit and on the locust and on the vinegar, he would say that you do make a bracha on an earthquake. It's a min klala, it's a klala. Why do you? He says, because you can see the direct hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an earthquake. In vinegar and in locusts and in the unripe fruit, it's not quite so dramatic.
In the
Yeah, certainly that's the worst possible. Oh, wow. So surely Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that bracha. Fantastic, Asher. Say it again, in case it didn't come out.
When a person dies, shnevu for us, you make baruch dayan emes.
So surely, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would disagree with that bracha. Oh, I wish I had thought that, Kasha.
It's not a curse. Dying isn't a curse.
It's bad news. It's bad news, right? Earthquakes. It's all bad news. Yeah.
It's judgment.
It's all bad, isn't it?
It's bad news.
But something for the soul is not.
Yeah, but for the people who are there.
He might be married 70 years. His wife's going to be upset, no? But the husband's got a desire. You say it's rather dynamic.
Yes, because
everybody's got a desire. So everybody's going to be subject to a curse. It doesn't really make sense. Well,
depends how you look at it.
I told my children that this month, well, you get up to Shemaim, says, I'm going to die wrong.
I want to die.
That means he explained it to him very clearly. Or her. Who was it? Which
house?
Oh, granddaughter. Oh, she's very young. Yeah.
You're conversing against your will you live and against your will you die.
Yeah.
So it's the will. It's not a curse.
Yeah, okay, but it's different.
Okay. Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. With a locust, I mean, someone might really enjoy locusts.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you shouldn't make a bracha over it.
It's a minklala. Locusts are considered, says Ramita, they're a minklala. They're a form of curse. They're a species which are.
If someone enjoys eating them, well, you shouldn't make a bracha there?
That's what Ramita
is enjoying it.
As according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't pass on that.
We don't pass on that.
I remember once discussing locusts with Rabbi Akiva Zecher Talmid Bracha, and he said to me, yes, the Sephardim, there are some Sephardim who know exactly which locusts are kosher. And he said, and there's no shechita, nothing like that. He says, so they see a locust flying in the air, they clap their hands over it, crush it to death straight away, make a shakal and eat it. He said, but you have to know which species are kosher. Gemara and Chulin gives all. You've done that, Gemara. The Gemara and Chulin gives the simonim for kosher locusts. Yes, it has to. Oh, I can't remember. It has to have very long wings which cover the majority of its torso and also both in length and in circumference to be kosher. And there are other simonim as well, I can't remember them. Yeah. And it has to have jumping legs, karsulayim. It has to have special extra jumping. It's got walking legs and the bent, very long bent legs, which are called karsulayim. They're the jumping legs. Yeah.
Do they even live in France? Is it France?
Oh, they're frogs. Yeah, well, we don't eat frogs. Frogs are not kosher.
I was in Paris last week. I tried to find frogs legs.
To see what they look like. Yeah.
Well, we can't eat them.
No, of course not. No, definitely not. Yeah, what do they look like? Oh, now there's another medrash which I saw in a lovely sefer of Likutim Joshim, which I received as a gift many years ago from Rabbi Solmesha Greenfeld, a colleague of mine in school, who quotes a medrash in the name of Reish Lakish, and this is a medrash in the Medrash Zutta Koheles Aleph Zalud. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'odom, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is created in mankind, bara'an ba'aretz, he's also created in the earth. Odom misgoesh, a person can tremble, and therefore the Haaretz, and so Misgresh, and so the Earth will Misgresh, and so the Earth can also tremble. Man can tremble, so can the Earth. Now, I brought along the Rav Shem Shem Fal Hirsch on Tehillim, because what he writes here is very simple and yet very important. And he says that the gist of our posuk is that any earthly phenomenon are the direct actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't matter what the scientists tell you, it's direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's got a paragraph here which explains it. But let me just read out, I've brought this to read you the English translation of the pasuk.
He's working through nature.
Exactly, I'm working through nature, but it all boils down to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to the translation of the pasuk that Rav Shem Shem Fel Hirsch gives. V'atigash v'atirasha oretz, whenever the earth shook and quaked, or mosteh horim yugazu, and the foundations of the mountains trembled, v'yisgashu, they were shaken, ki charalo, because he was angry. That's it. It's just saying, whenever there are earthquakes, it's all because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting it. Yeah? That's how he learns it. And then he says, he points out that this word vayiskoash is an interesting word because it's a hispoel. Vayiskoash normally is understood as a reflexive verb. Someone doing something to themselves. It says vayiskoashu, they trembled themselves or they shook themselves. He says, why is that? Because we can't see how Kodesh Baruch Hu doing it. And because we can't see what causes the earthquakes, it is as though the mountains are shaking themselves. So that's why it's put in the hispoel. Vayiskoashu. We can't see the actual force. I wrote it down here actually.
Pressure is itself caused.
Exactly. You can't see what causes the agitation. He uses that word. You can't see what causes the agitation. And so it looks as though the mountains are shaking themselves. But of course they're not.
We know Hashem is giving you a message. Yeah?
Of course. But that's why it's written in the hispoel. Vayiskoashu. Goashu, yeah?
I read something about in Japan, they had this terrible tsunami.
Yeah.
So a rabbi in Yerushalayim said, it's because they're holding these Jewish boys there. It's a message, from Hashem in Japan.
Yeah.
This is similar to what you're saying.
How all these how these earthquakes are caused because of various aveiros. Nasus going wrong, and then Mishkal Zohar, and Machlokas.
Mankind tries to understand everything. We're supposed to understand, but this is when this world is one to try and the ways of Hashem. But those who don't believe in Hashem still try to understand in terms of natural phenomena. There's no Yesh Me'ayin from them. Everything has a cause and effect, and the terror of an earthquake, the magnitude of it's unstoppable. So mankind feels absolutely terrorized because nothing they can do about it. So they compensate themselves by saying, we can forecast it. But they can't forecast it. They have the likelihood. They measure the pressures and the other. They have seismic recordings when a thing is likely to go. But the precise moment it's going to go, they don't know. And that's terror. That's the terrorists have. You don't know when they're going to strike. So you can't do anything about it. You're absolutely... You're frozen. You're just living in terror of something's about to happen. Nothing you can do about it. And it's something man can't live with. And this is Hashem's power over mankind.
Israel is in the earthquake, so you know that.
Expecting one. They say it can happen any day, an earthquake.
The Rift Valley, the Rift Valley is a fault. It runs right up through the Dead Sea.
That's like Safat's they had the earthquake.
It runs right up the Jordan Valley. It's a fault line.
Around Israel.
Could explain the Sodom and Gomorrah, for example.
Because that's been stolen
far
from heaven.
No, because if you think of it, there were we call slime pits, but they weren't.
Yeah.
They were asphalt pits.
Yeah.
Asphalt doesn't occur without oil.
Yeah.
If there was a natural disaster, like an earthquake, well, we all know that the centre of the earth is hot.
Mm.
And the hot springs, we know in Israel that there are hot springs. It only comes because the ground is hot,
yeah.
And this is fault.
Mm-hmm.
And if Khalilah, it happened in these days, if they there was a disturbance of the earth, and hot things came up through an oil rich area like asphalt. Asphalt is not there without oil, it's dried oil. So it may be that what happened, the combination of the earthquake, the air coming in to cause ignition, then there was fire. And so all these things could have happened, but this is terror. Things are absolutely unpredictable. The short song of tomorrow could be explained in that sort of way.
I have news for you, Louis. You need to sponsor a kiddush in the shul. Because you've just said the pshat given by the shloh.
Mm.
Yes. The shloh says on this pasuk that it refers to Sodom and Amira.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mazel tov. Yes. That these. He's referring to.
Heaven,
yeah. But yes, God for Israel. Yeah.
From heaven, though. I thought was something
yeah.
down.
Yeah. Okay. But he's all right. Yeah. That I don't know. But he says that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was caused, at least in part, by an earthquake, and the Shalach goes through all these coming psukim. When we're going to go through all the various natural phenomena, he relates each one to a different incident in history, and he says that this one, earthquakes, is Sodom and Gomorrah. So there we are. Next month, Kiddush. Yeah. Reich cases. Yeah. Okay. We can just finish off now. If you have a look,
Rabbi Horowitz, wasn't it?
Yes, Rabbi Yishai, Rabbi Yishai Horowitz. Yes, Rabbi Yishai Horowitz. If you have a look at the parallel psukim in Shmuel Beis, you've got a bookmark there for Shmuel Beis. It's the top of the left hand page. Top of the left hand page there. There's a bookmark. In Shmuel Beis, where we always learn the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis, and we're in. Let me just get this. So Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and we're on Posuk Ches. Now there, compare that Posuk with our Posuk. Now the Posuk there starts with a creak sieve. You read the word Vayisgo'ash. Vatirash Ores. And it means pretty much the same thing. They are trembled and quaked. Mostos Hashomayim Yergozu. The foundations of the heavens quaked. Vayisqashu kichara lo, and they trembled because he was angry, or they trembled when he was angry. Interestingly enough, I've just noticed that the Targum there translates kichara lo as arei sekef rugze, because he has a lot of arei means when he has a lot of anger. Oh, so interesting. Remember, we began in the beginning of the show. We spoke about that word ki. At the end of the pasuk, ki horalo, and Rashi learns it means when Hashem is angry, then there are earthquakes. And then I showed you how the Targum on our pasuk in Tehillim translates the word ki as matul, which means because. Well, the Targum in Shmuel Beis gives a different translation. He gives it as arei sekef rugze, and the word arei is more like the way Rashi on our pasuk defines it as when. When Hashem is angry.
So Rashi says it's when he's angry.
Yes, it seems that it's a slight difference in the Targum between his treatment of the word ki in Shmuel Beis and his treatment of the word ki in Tehillim. At any rate, let's not worry too much about that, although, well, it's something to note. But the major differences between the pasuk in Shmuel Beis and our pasuk, there, the first word in Shmuel Beis, Vayisgo'ash. Now look at the spelling of Vayisgo'ash. It's a cricusiv. Oh, sorry, it's in here, at the top here. Here, this one, here, look at that word there. Vayisgo'ash. Now, that word, can you see there are no vowels on it?
Mm-hmm.
The reason there are no vowels, they put the vowels there, it's a cricusive. Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a note. There's a note at the bottom there. Yeah, in the Shmuel base, that word, the first word, Vayiskoash, is spelt Vav Tov Gimel Ayin Shin. It's read. There's one of the Neginus is underneath the iron. Yeah, but if you look over here, sorry, I should get you a bigger one. Do you know what? Use this one. Look, no, you're much clearer here. Look at that. Where's it going? Is that it there? Right here, under my finger. Vayiskoash. Now, can you see there's a star there?
Yeah.
Now, that star goes to. In Shmuel Bay.
Pardon? Vayiskoash up on Shmuel Bay. Look, Vayiskoash.
Yeah, no, the beginning of the pasuk. That one, maybe on the beginning of the pasuk, yeah. That's right, at the very beginning of the pasuk. So you've got the word Vayiskoash at the beginning of the pasuk, which is written without a letter Yud.
Yeah?
Vayiskoash, written without the letter Yud. It's a Krikasiv. The letters of that word, Vayiskoash, are Vav Tov Gimel Ein Shin, which actually, we read it as though a Yud was there. So it's read one way, Vayiskoash with a Yud, but it's written as though it simply says Vatigash. If you look at the letters only, without the vowels, it could read the same word as we've got in our pasuk, Vatigash. Yeah? So that's one major difference between these two pasukim. Going back to that one, to the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Vayiskoash, Vatirasha Oret, that's the same. But then it says, Mostos Hashamayim Yirgozu, the foundations of the heavens shake. Whereas in our pasuk, we've got, Umostei, not quite the same word, Umostei Horim Yirgozu, the foundations of the mountains. So there's another couple of differences there. So the Mefarshim there explain the Ralbag explains that Mostos Hashamayim is really refers to either places on low land, but more likely, or he says it really refers to Horim Gavurim, high mountains. When it says the pasuk in Shmuel base Mostos Hashamayim, the foundations of the heavens. What are the foundations of the heavens? They are the lowest part of the heavens. Well, the lowest parts of the heavens are the highest parts on earth, and therefore they are mountains. And therefore it's synonymous with our pasuk, which gives almost a horim, the foundation to the mountains. The Ralbag explains there's a connection. It's difficult to understand, because in our pasuk, almost a horim, foundations of the mountains, seems like right at the bottom of the mountain, on the ground, at the base of a mountain. But he relates the word mostos hashamayim
to
Horim, to mountains. I.e. the lowest part of the heavens are mountains. Absolutely, of course. Correct. Correct. And the Abarbanel on that pasuk says that we do find the word Shomayim referring to mountains. Yeah, that's right. We do find the word Shomayim referring to mountains. And he quotes a pasuk in Devarim chapter Aleph, pasuk Kafches, where Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting what happened when the Meraglim came back. And it says there that the Meraglim reported, we saw amazing things there. We saw Am Gadol V'Romimenu. We saw a great nation and stronger and bigger than we are. And we saw Orim Gedolos Uvetsuros Bashamoyim. We saw cities which are large and fortified in heaven, or up to the heavens. So Rashi on that pasuk says it's just a bit sort of. Rashi says it's human speech which takes on a form of exaggeration. And they just think, I'm Gedolos, so it says, Bashamayim in the heavens. The Abarbanel says, no, what it means is, we saw large cities on mountaintops, reaching up towards the sky, i.e. on mountains. Says the Abarbanel, from here we can see that the word Shamayim can be used to refer to mountains. and therefore that ratifies the two psukim. In Shmuel Beis, it speaks of the Mostos Hashemayim, the foundations of the heavens, and in Tehillim, it refers to the hills, to the mountains, Horim, Mostei Horim, and he says the two are synonymous, because we refer to mountains as the heavens, because they stretch up to the mountain, to the heavens.
So with present day knowledge, knowing about sunspots and the activities of the in the universe, how they affect what's going on the earth. In the old days, they had the muzzle. They had the astronomers. What would happen? There was bad signs. A star appeared, and then they realized that the heavens did affect the earth. So maybe the lowest part of the heavens are the stars themselves, rather than just what we see on Earth. Where the highest point on Earth isn't really the heavens. Colloquially, it reaches to the heavens.
Yeah.
And because it's to be speaking the language of men, but in spiritual terms, you say the lowest part of the heavens, the lowest part of the heavens of what Hashem created, what we see, that's lowest. We can't see things which are higher than that. It's beyond our vision. But what we can see are the lowest part of the heavens. These are the stars and the constellations. And we know that sunspots affect storms on Earth.
I just learned that. I was just reading about that last week.
Of course. What we call global warming is mostly brought on by heavenly activity, the constellations, mostly by the sun. The moon causes tides, for example. We all know that. In present day parlance, or knowledge rather, what we know in here could have a different aspect to it.
Yes, so most say Shemayim are the same as most say Horim.
Yeah, they're
part of the
mountain. Yeah, exactly. Abravanel wants to connect. He says that Shemayim is
meets, so to speak. That's right. Mountains meet heaven.
Exactly.
At this point.
A high point on earth is described as Shemayim.
Mostly Shemayim.
Yeah. And he proves it from this pasuk in Devarim.
You know, we see most of those HaTorah means the foundations of the Torah. Mossad. The foundation of the Torah.
Yeah.
They say Mossad HaTorah.
Good. Can we leave it there?
Yeah.